Blog Talk Radio.
My jam.
Lisa, Lisa and Cult Jam. Hey, this is Darlene Lewis. Welcome to another broadcast of blogtalkradio.com/hearnoevil. I'm your show host and producer, and tonight the topic is actually a question. What type of lover are you? Do you cater to your lover? Are you always available when your lover needs and wants your attention? Do you find that you spend hours thinking about your lover? Or are you the hit it and quit it type? Do you just want your space and only want to be bothered with your lover when your love comes down? Are you a player or a slayer? Give me a call at 347-989-0761. We're on every Thursday, 6:30 to 7:30. Or sometimes we're on for longer periods. It's according on the amount of guests that are scheduled and the hot topic. Now today, I'm going to speak about what women want and what men want. I'm also going to give you some information about the male point of view and what they look for in a woman. But before we go into that, I want to let you know about this CDC report that's really been bothering me. I did some research and myself, and actually I was studying something about the bad media attention that the CDC report has garnered when they spoke about half of black women in the United States had carried the herpes virus. Now, I know from dealing with media, how propaganda can get out, and sometimes we tend to be used as scapegoats for various reasons, for social reasons. But according to the DivineBlackTruth.org, you know, they had their own impression of the CDC's report. And it says that the March 2010 CDC report stated, like I said, that nearly half of black women in the United States carried that herpes virus. And here's why those statistics and others like them may be misleading. Now, the March 2010 report from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention cited startling high levels of the genital herpes virus among African-American women. The report found that 48% of African-American women have been exposed to the virus that causes genital herpes. The report gave many African-Americans the all-too-familiar, overwhelming feeling of fatigue in the face of yet another racially humiliating CDC report. African Americans often seem to be under siege when it comes to the ongoing flood of negative statistics and higher rates of disparities of nearly everything. No doubt disparities exist, but the case regarding African Americans is so severe that it has become a phenomenon. For this reason alone, it's more than reasonable to take a closer look at these ongoing negative statistics and find out what is really going on. Now, is it plausible to conceive that these negative reports are in fact societal, psychosocial programs that are deliberately intended to imply white superiority over blacks as a means of ensuring the continuance of white dominance in the United States? Today's method of deploring white racism has sophisticatedly evolved far beyond the previous blatant, now morally unacceptable methods used in the past. Now, although today most African Americans do not experience racism the way their parents experienced it, they do, however, still experience white racism. America's white elite's practices of economically exploiting and suppressing its black population was never truly abandoned. it was instead secretly modified into a more contemporary and stealthy design. America's white controlling societal elites have developed a more covert and socially acceptable method of ensuring that white dominance and control be continued even throughout and beyond the term of its first black president. This is because although the United States government publicly professes equality for all of its citizens, it secretly holds an unyielding commitment towards the preservation of its white dominance and control. Therefore, if the United States government treated its minority groups in a manner which did not promote maintaining its white dominance and control, it would be diametrically opposed to itself. This scenario necessitates that the United States government secretly implement systems to domestically defend its position of white dominance against its minority group. This racist objective is now met through the dissemination of specified misinformation and propaganda that is designed to socially engineer the American society towards meeting this objective. The national media's distorted portrayal of black America that amplifies the negative to the point that it distorts reality is more than just biased media reports. They covertly function as psychosocial programs, which uses the media's proven ability to manipulate and influence the masses to now control its black population. It uses misinformation as a tool to spread false beliefs about and among the masses of the black population that attributes to ensuring the continuance of white dominance and control. Now, the constant, relentless bombardment with deplorably negative images of themselves, that of which African Americans are so inundated with through a white-controlled media, is a very carefully and deliberately designed mass media social manipulation program. It is a proven system that works by psychologically affecting the unconscious mind through deceptive misinformation. Its negative portrayals of African Americans are deliberately designed to adversely manipulate and shape their minds and collective consciousness. It covertly controls and divides African Americans by subjecting them to seeing only the fraudulent worst in themselves, while insinuating that they admire, respect, and trust only whites. Moreover, it totally detaches African Americans from their sense of power and reality. It drills the message that blacks are powerless, of lesser moral and character and intelligence. It conditions black people to the belief that they require whites to govern over their lives. Its unrelenting daily assault on the black psyche is designed to break down African Americans' sense of racial unity and allegiance, mold the character of self-hatred, engender self-doubt, self-loathing, and distrust among their group. To the detriment of many African Americans, it has been an extremely effective tool. It has successfully conditioned many African Americans to accept white dominance over their lives by misleading them to believe that they are themselves their own worst enemies. This engenders an aberration of internalized self-contempt that pulverizes black unity and halts black upward mobility. Information management, social engineering, and traffic shaping through the national media are the evil crafts of this modern system of institutionalized racism. This modern racist system provides the United States government with a more socially acceptable means of continuing its white racial dominance and control, unlike the blatantly overt system of racism used in the past that resulted in African Americans unifying themselves against it. This modern stealthy design system is covertly deployed, therefore it is not as easily recognized or detected by many of its black victims. is so well disguised that although many of its black victims may instinctively feel that there is something wrong, they are, however, unable to sufficiently conceptualize it so that they can unify and defend themselves against it. Even the very brightest of African Americans may have little, if any, hope of extricating themselves from the detrimental effects of this psychosocial program. It is so subtle, pervasive, well-organized, complete, and proficient that most African Americans remain unaware and totally taken in by this method of emitting white racism. This psychosocial program is directly intertwined with the extensive challenges negatively impacting black America today. It is at the root of both the profound feelings of self-hatred now afflicting so many black Americans and is also responsible for the false sense of superiority that many whites now possess. It was this psychosocial program that made the white race the litmus test and standard for all humanity despite their brutally racist and inhumane history to the contrary. A consensual national setting for black annihilation, this psychosocial program not only negatively impacts black self-perceptions, it also socially engineers a consensual national setting for the mistreatment of its black population. It does so by creating a shift of victimization that changes the root problem of racism in America to be due to blacks' behavior rather than whites' proclivity for racism. Therefore, engineering and engendering increasingly prejudiced, distorted perceptions and acrimonious beliefs about African Americans that are designed to make the nation and the entire world insensitive to their plight, tranquilizes efforts on their behalf, lessens pressure for social change on their behalf, and makes any serious criticism of white racism almost impossible today. Therefore, fostering a national setting of where in which blacks are more easily exploited and ultimately consensually suppressed. It is also creating a false justification for the legal system's mistreatment of African Americans, wherein they are disproportionately incarcerated, given stiffer sentences, and are more likely than other racial groups to be treated brutally, beaten, and fired upon by police officers while they are unarmed. These injustices now go ignored because the perception has subconsciously become that it's all now justified. When contempt of blacks is made to appear to be justifiable, it is the fiercest and most effective type of racism because its witnesses, bystanders, and even world audiences will sit by idly allowing African Americans to be brutally mistreated under the belief that it is justified. This method of control and suppression is based upon the propaganda techniques of renowned psychologist and United States mass propaganda specialist Dr. Edward Bernays. He referred to this as socially engineered consent to mistreat the targeted group. The effects of this social program are also manifested in ideas, education, governmental policies, economic stratification, social segregation, housing markets, hiring and promotion practices, psychological issues, and minority access to a variety of social services and opportunities. It ensures that the masses of African Americans remain the most racially devalued and most economically exploited and suppressed group in America. It also affects attitudes that, when enacted through governmental policies, laws, and other legislation actions, serve to ensure that African Americans will not advance. Unfortunately, to the detriment of many African Americans, this modern racist system has been very proficient. Some studies have shown that this social program has engendered increasingly acrimonious beliefs and prejudiced perceptions about and against African Americans that are arguably stronger today than they were after emancipation. Now, although all minority groups are being targeted by this psychosocial program, however, African Americans are most particularly targeted. The reason for this is because no group has presented a greater threat against the United States' continued white dominance than African Americans. While all ethnic groups possess the ability to bring about real change within the United States, only African Americans have produced such change. During the 1960s, African Americans confronted white racism on every front through militant means, nonviolent civil disobedience strategies, and legal arguments within America's highest courts. These strategies resulted in the enactment of many civil rights laws that improved the lives of all minorities. African Americans' unified strategies against white racism remains unraveled by any other ethnic group. These facts subsequently mean that African Americans represent the greatest threat against the United States government's unyielding commitment towards the preservation of its white dominance. This quite logically necessitated that to domestically defend its position of white dominance, a system be secretly implemented, particularly targeting the entire African American population, a system that will ensure that African Americans remain the largest, most racially devalued, most exploited and suppressed group in America, even throughout and beyond the presidency of its first black president. The usage of information is rarely considered when discussing method of admitting white racism. However, this progression was a logical choice because it conveniently provides a more socially acceptable and covert means of maintaining white dominance. Furthermore, information management is a powerful tool. It is the single most important thing that moves the world economy, influences political regimes, defines meaningful thoughts, and constructs human behavior. Although most African Americans are totally unaware of this modern system of white racism, however, it has been extremely effective at conditioning millions of blacks to not only accept white dominance over their lives, but to even prefer it. It is by far the most detrimentally proficient racist system ever to confront black people. This is not a feeble attempt at blaming all of the negative statistics on white racism while ignoring true disparities within many black communities, nor is this an attempt to peddle victimhood to absolve or shirk America's black population of their own personal responsibilities. This is a truth that must be recognized and addressed if black people are to survive and be a part of the future. Recognizing this stealthy, racist system is often very difficult for many of its black victims because black people have been so bombarded with so much deplorably negative images of themselves. It has therefore become easier for many to accept the negative lies about them, rather than believing that it's a modern system of white racism. Therefore, recognizing this truth will require that many of its black recipients overcome their psychologically ingrained negative perceptions of themselves and favorable perceptions of whites. These perceptions have been deliberately, unrelentingly indoctrinated upon the black psyche through this very same manipulation process that this article exposes. The government practice of producing false news reports to influence the nation favorably towards its objective is not an uncommon practice. During the Bush administration alone, as many as 20 government departments produced fake news, which stations broadcast as though they had produced the segments themselves. According to the New York Times, the Bush administration produced look-alike news propaganda clips and then persuaded television stations across the country to air them uncritically and often uncut. The Bush administration went as far as to use video clips that were intentionally deceptive and scripted introductory misleading lines for the news anchor to read out. It is a program known to its detractors as covert propaganda. Now, this deceptive practice continues even now. Although the United States has now elected its first African-American president, its predominantly white government officials and powerfully affluent white societal elites, they that truly run America and maintain their position of power and prestige, regardless of who is actually president, will more than likely merely use this monumental election to restore America's eroded global image and standing in the world, rather than to improve the lives of African Americans. This is because these white elites are still resolute in their commitment towards maintaining their white dominance and control in the United States. Therefore, this psychosocial program will not be discontinued because of the historic presidency of Barack Obama. Research indicates that this program was originally contrived at London's Tavistock Institute and that it is being implemented within many white-ruled countries. However, in the United States, it was implemented against African Americans in response to the uprising of the Black Power and Civil Rights movements of the 1960s. Unless the masses of black people are made aware of this modern racist system and unify themselves against it, the white elites will continue to use it against us, even with one black president. The many problems now facing black America will not be corrected by implementing outdated strategies of foot marches, speeches, or the commemoration of fallen black martyrs. It will only be done by surviving as a race, addressing this modern system of racism using 19th century strategies. It is only by exposing and eradicating this modern covert system will real change be possible for African Americans. This is why you must always be aware of the many, many problems that can come due to propaganda. It will never change. Just like you have all of these news reports about black women can't find men because they are either too bossy or they're too demanding. And, you know, there was a panel on Nightline where there were some prominent black individuals, Steve Harvey, Hill Harper, Sherry Shepherd, and Jackie McGee. I believe she was an anchor. She's also on the D.L. Hughley radio show, and also she's on a program with Pepper from Salt and Pepper, and they were complaining that they could not find a black man because they were successful and blah, 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 and so on and so on. So that is what prompted me to talk about the hepatitis propaganda, to talk about what black men and black women really want, or maybe what women, not just black women, but women in general want. But we're going to take a little break, give you some good music, and we'll be back to talk about what women and what men want. Listen, call me, 347-989-0761, if you want to talk about this propaganda, this hepatitis scare stating that 68% of all African-American women will be experiencing some type of disease problem with hepatitis or genital herpes. It's just going too far as we are being the ones targeted like no other nationality gets this disease. Give me a call. We'll be right back. Yes, that was Fantasy, Earth, Wind, and Fire. Now, I want to talk to you about an article that was created by Mr. Dan Bacon, who is the founder of the Modern Man blog. He talks about what women want from men. This is what his interpretation of what women want from men is, and I want you to call me at 347-989-0761 to let me know whether or not he has hit a nerve. According to him, he asked a few questions. What do women want from men? Do they want a nice guy, a bad boy, a jerk, a good guy? Do they want to be romanced or taken advantage of sexually? What women want is not what most guys expect. He remembers when he had absolutely no idea what women wanted, how to tell if they were interested, and why they behaved in the ways that they do. Now, as you may know from your own life, lack of knowing what women wanted from men meant that you have very little success with women. Women ignored him, overlooked him, or saw him as just a friend, rather than a potential boyfriend or sexual lover. So he used to sit there, scratch his head, and wonder, what's going on here? What do women want? Why don't I have the type of success that I want with women? Is there something wrong with me? Now, he says that one of his problems was that he expected women to make it really, really obvious when they liked him. For some reason, he thought that women might approach him if he just waited long enough, or worse, the right type of or person would just pop up, or if he wore the right type of shirt, or happened to be in the right place at the right time. He just couldn't see the signals that women were giving off. So he left single and alone for too many years to mention. Now, how many things have changed now is that he actually understands what women want from men. And to let you in on a piece of that now, what a woman really wants from you as a man is that you display confidence and masculinity and allow her to feel safe around you. Safe to be a woman and be girly. Safe that you will be confident enough to make the right decisions about anything and everything at the right times. Women also want a guy that has the balls to walk over and actually start a conversation if he finds a woman attractive. Otherwise, the woman will just stand there waiting. Women rarely, if ever, approach. Or they will walk away and your opportunity together will be lost. What women want is you to be able to interact with them in a way that makes them feel sexual attraction for you, fun and interesting, and includes flirting and humor. A crucial mistake that he used to make was being too much of a friendly, nice guy. He talked about boring things, showed too much interest early on, and didn't know how to flirt or make a woman feel sexual attraction for him. And that's definitely not what women want in a guy. In fact, doing those things is the equivalent of a woman who you find very unattractive. For example, an obese woman, they say, may be unattractive. Showing you interest and wanting to be with you. You just aren't going to be interested because you are naturally attracted to a thinner, healthier-looking woman. Another mistake he made was thinking that women would be annoyed and rudely reject him if he approached and started a conversation out of the blue. Here's the shocking truth. Women want you to be approachable, and they want you to approach. They do want you to come over, but, and it's a big but, they want you to be a particular type of guy when you do approach. They want to be wined and dined, and if they are independent, they want to be able to show you that they are independent. They don't want you to muffle them. So men, take the advice from Dan Bacon, but you can also take advice from me and understand that not all women are the same. Some of us just want to have fun. I'll be right back. Now, we spoke about earlier what women want and what they thought and what a man thought that a woman wants. But as a female, we're going to switch it up a little bit. I want to talk to you about what men want. Now, when you are still single and your friends are already happy with their partners, you're wondering if you are someone that men will want. True enough, there are really some certain qualifications that men want in women. This is also true among women. Reflect and you will realize that you also have your own standards when it comes to liking men. Here are some tips about the kind of women that men want. Now, men prefer soft and feminine women. Men like women who will make them feel that they are needed. By nature, men are egotistic, and they want to be superior to women. This is why men would like to be with women whom they can show that they will be able to protect. Although there are some men that like powerful and dominant women, majority of men would still prefer the soft and feminine type. Trust me, not too judgmental either. Men do not like women who are very judgmental and will give nasty comments to everything that they see. Although this is a common trait of women, men do not like those types. If you are like this, ladies, then you should try making those nasty comments into constructive criticisms without being sarcastic. Men like intelligent women. Don't let them fool you. Actually, men are very much attracted to intelligent women. Of course, men still prefer those women whom they are physically attracted with, but intelligence ranks second. Men love women who are articulate, smart, and opinionated. Men also like women that have a good sense of humor. Men love to joke around, so they are looking for women who have a good sense of humor. They prefer those whom they can crack jokes with and laugh with. On the other hand, men do not get attracted to women who easily get upset with jokes. Men love girls that are patient. Obviously, men are more insensitive as compared to women, but there are also some instances wherein men would realize their insensitivities. They would truly appreciate a woman who is patient enough to understand those insensitivities and doesn't pressure him. Men want honest women. By being true to yourself and not pretending to be another person, you will be able to attract men. Men want honest women because they feel that these women are authentic. Be honest in everything that you say. And do not lie just to impress him. Men like women who are open-minded. You should show your willingness to explore other possibilities and accept new ideas. Do not be self-centered or selfish because men do not like girls of this type. Remember this. Be right back.
Got me feeling it. I don't know what it is, but it is. But I was so sure that it wouldn't happen to me, cause I know how to put it down. But I was so
Since I Lost My Baby, that was David Ruffin. And we followed up with the previous one was Usher's Caught Up. So you out there, you say you're lonely, you say you don't have no one to call your own, you're tired of running around playing the field, or you haven't been dating and now you feel that because spring is in the air, you want to be with that special someone, start researching what men and women want. If you have someone in your life, stop taking them for granted. Don't assume that they will always be around. Because everything that you won't do for your lover, someone else will do. There's always someone there ready to pick up the pieces. It's nothing wrong with being in love. Just be available for your loved one whenever, whatever they want to do, whenever they want to do it, and why ever. That was Maxwell, whenever, whatever. Well, we've come to the end of another broadcast of Blog Talk Radio / Hear No Evil. Listen every Thursday at 6:30 And once again, I welcome your comments. You can always check out any of my literary works and my DVDs at www.lulu.com/Darlene Lewis. You can go to my website, futurenetworkproductions.com, if you want to promote on the radio program any of your events, products, goods, and services. If you want to be on the radio promoting your book, we welcome all promoters. Tune in every week, meet a friend, call me up to tell me what's on your mind. You don't really need a reason. Thank you, and I'll see you next week.